Well, I'd like to start out tonight by taking a little survey. How many of you are list makers? You know what I mean, people who are always writing things down on little scraps of paper, sending yourself notes. You have daily lists, weekly lists, monthly lists. You have a list for work, a list for home. You have a list of all the stuff that you need to get done. So how many of you are list makers? Can I see a show of hands? I can see that we have quite a few tonight, and I want to let you know about this recovery group that we're going to be starting in January for list makers. Just kidding, but I mean, for me, lists are a way of keeping everything organized, all the details together, and I want to make sure I don't miss anything. But there's one kind of list that I've always just struggled with, and that's a Christmas list. I remember that song you probably remembered as well from our childhood. He's making a list, he's keeping it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. And I'm like, oh my word, a Christmas list? Ugh. What are we gonna buy Aunt Bethany this year? I mean, we all know it could be her last Christmas. What are we gonna buy that brother-in-law that seems to have everything? We wanna get all the special people in our lives unique and exceptional gifts to show them just how much we love them at a reasonable price. And then, you know, every year, my mother-in-law sends me an email right about after Thanksgiving, and she's always asking me, Mark, what do you want for Christmas? And every year, I tell her the same thing, a Porsche 911. She laughs, just like you do. And she ends up buying me a sweater. But one year, she did buy me a Porsche, and I have it right here. So she did meet my request. So we all have lists, and we all have things that we want to get done, and we all have these gifts that we need to buy, and we have these gifts that we want to see for ourselves, with our names on them under the tree. But tonight, I want us to think about Christmas gifts a little differently. I want you to think not about the gifts that you get or the gifts that you buy, but rather the gift that you are. In the Christmas story in Matthew's gospel, there's this account of visitors from the east, of men who studied the stars, of wise men or magi who came and bowed down in worship before Jesus, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And while many scholars believe these wise men came much later in the story, a critical part of this account was the gifts that they brought. These gifts were valuable items that were customarily gifts that would be brought to honor kings or deities in the ancient world. Gold is a precious metal, frankincense as perfume or incense, and myrrh as an anointing oil. In addition to the honor and status implied by the value of these gifts, the Magi, the many scholars think, chose these gifts for their special spiritual symbolism. Gold representing the kingship, frankincense a symbol of the priestly role, and myrrh foreshadowing of the death and embalming of Jesus. So these were the gifts of the wise men. These were the gift of the Magi who traveled from far away and to the land where they bowed in honor and worshiped Jesus. But I want to ask you this question. What are the gifts that you bring as you come to worship the Holy Child? If you were to put Jesus on your Christmas list, what gift would you give? Gold? Frankincense? Myrrh? Can you order those on Amazon? And the answer to that question is, yes, you can. There's actually this Three Kings gift box on Amazon, and it's only $32.95. Such a deal. But you better hurry. I checked it last night, and there were only six left. And my guess is the 7 and 9 o'clock crowd already beat you to it. But let me give you another idea, a more priceless gift. And that's the gift that God desires from you. And that would be the gift that you are. We read from the Old Testament prophet Micah, where he writes, "What shall I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring the best calves to burn as offerings for him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring thousands of sheep and endless streams of olive oil? Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay for my sins? No, the Lord has told you what is good. What he requires for us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God." So it's not about the gifts that we bring. It's about the gift that you are, about how you live your life and how you live your life in a way that honors God. St. Paul wrote this in the 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans. "Offer yourselves as what? Living sacrifices to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer." Again, the best gift that we can give to God and to one another is the gift of who we are. As many of you may know, this past fall, my sister lost her life in a long, drawn-out battle with cancer. But she always seemed to know how to give the gift of herself to other people. She was an executive for General Motors for 28 years, heading up their human development and training unit. And she poured her life into the people that she worked with, and she described her work as a ministry, and she impacted a lot of people. But then at the age of 50, she had this opportunity to take a buyout, which she took immediately. And for the next 4 years, she served as an area director for an organization that many of you may know, Young Life. Her life was a gift to so many teenagers. She was always having kids and leaders over to their house. She spent a lot of time up at camp, and she poured her life into these teenagers, and she worked to get this inner city club up and running in one of the toughest sections of our hometown. And at her funeral, there were probably easily more than 100 of the Young Life kids that she had touched and impacted, and they all had stories of what a gift her life was to them. You know, when you think about it, that's what we're celebrating tonight, the gift of God's love, that God so loved the world that he gave himself. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, the incarnation of God, Emmanuel. God's gift to us was the gift of himself. Now, some of you may have the money to buy extravagant gifts. Some of you may not. Some of you may be able to flood your loved ones with lavish presents. But nothing will exceed your presence. Nothing will be greater than the gift that you are. You know, in many ways, God wants us to extend his incarnation through the gift of ourselves to other people. God's great desire for us is to be an extension of his incarnation. Theologian Henry Nouwen once told a story of a student who many years after his graduation returned to sit in his old professor's office where so many questions had been asked and debated and answered, where many dialogues had taken place. And when the student entered, he told his professor that he didn't really need anything, that he just came to visit, to be together. They sat for a while in silence and looked at each other. One broke the silence by telling the other how nice it was to see each other. And the other agreed, and then there was more silence. Then the student said, "When I look at you, it is as if I'm in the presence of Christ." The professor remembers that didn't startle him or surprise him, and that he could only respond with this: "It is the Christ in you who recognizes the Christ in me." And the student replied with the most healing words Nouwen had heard in many years: "Yes, Christ is truly present. From now on, wherever you go, wherever I go, all the ground between us will be holy ground." Yeah, I know we have lists, except for you slackers out there. We have lists of things to do and places to go. We have our plans and our projects. We have our agendas and our schedules. And my guess is some of us still might have some shopping to do. But please, don't miss this. Please, on this Christmas Eve, do not miss the gift of God incarnate. And do not miss the importance of giving the gift that you are. Instead of talking a lot about Jesus this year, what if you were to be a little bit of Jesus to your neighbors, to your coworkers, and maybe even to your enemies? May that be the gift that you give, the gift of who you are, the gift of Jesus who lives and moves within you, the gift of the incarnation given to you, then passed on through you. And now, as we do every year, as we dim the lights and we focus our attention on the light that comes from the Christ candle, in the darkness of our world, there is light, and that is the light of Christ, who brings the good news of God's love to all people. And as we receive that gift of life, we acknowledge Christ's presence in our life, and then we pass it on. And as we do, the darkness of the world begins to dissipate, and the light of God's love transforms the darkness of this world into light.